In just a moment, Generations with Kevin Swanson. But first, this. The World View in 5 minutes.
It's Monday, December 5th, 2016 AD. This is The World View in 5 minutes. I'm Adam McManus. At the end of today's newscast, the first couple of feedback emails from listeners. Firefighters have found 30 bodies in the ruins of a makeshift nightclub in Oakland, California, from a three-alarm fire that ripped through the former piano warehouse dubbed the Ghost Ship on Friday night at 11:30 p.m. The Los Angeles Times reports that partygoers recalled a labyrinth series of rooms cluttered with beds, rugs, old sofas, pianos, paintings, antique furniture, and salvaged doors, as well as a staircase built partly with wooden pallets. Wooden rafters were adorned with hanging lanterns, Christmas lights, bicycles, stereo equipment, and exposed wiring. And no sprinklers were present. One eyewitness said it appeared to be a tinderbox ready to blow. Authorities could not safely access key parts of the building, bringing in cranes, bulldozers, and excavating equipment, along with cadaver dogs. On November 30th, a Christian boy in Pakistan was shown to be brutally beaten up in a video for allegedly drinking water from a fountain located inside a mosque, reports Persecution.com. The video shows the boy yelling and screaming from pain after being whipped with wooden sticks and being beaten with shoes. Psalm 10:2 says, "In pride the wicked hotly pursue the afflicted. Let them be caught in the plots which they have devised." First, Britain left the European Union. Then, America elected Donald Trump. But Sky News reports that the populist wave hit a brick wall yesterday in Italy. Matteo Renzi, Italy's energetic 41-year-old prime minister, who wanted to defang the upper house of the Italian parliament by cutting its numbers from 315 to 100, lost his hope of amending the Constitution by possibly 20 percentage points yesterday. Donald Trump is not even president yet, and he's already living up to his promise to save America's manufacturing jobs. First, he pressured Carrier Air Conditioning to keep 800 jobs in Indiana instead of closing their plant and opening one in Mexico. And now, according to the Wall Street Journal, the president-elect is threatening Rexnord, a manufacturer of industrial bearings, with a 35% tariff if they move their 300 jobs from Indianapolis, Indiana, to Monterrey, Mexico. Shares of Rexnord have tumbled more than 10% from Wednesday's close. The New York Times is about to lose it. After they could not elect Hillary Clinton president, now they're apoplectic over the Taiwan leader calling President-elect Donald Trump, claiming Trump has, quote, broken with decades of diplomatic practice and freewheeling calls with foreign leaders, unquote. George Stephanopoulos addressed the issue yesterday with Vice President-elect Mike Pence on ABC's This Week.
That was nothing more than taking a courtesy call of congratulations from the democratically elected leader of Taiwan.
So no implications for the One China policy?
Well, we'll deal with policy after January the 20th. This was a courtesy call. And plus, I have to tell you, George, it's a little mystifying to me that President Obama can reach out to a murdering dictator in Cuba in the last year and be hailed as a hero for doing it. And President-elect Donald Trump takes a courtesy call from the democratically elected leader in Taiwan, and it's become something of a controversy.
John Dickerson, the host of CBS's Face the Nation, sat down with newly reelected House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi, who beat Ohio Democratic Representative Tim Ryan in a vote of 134 to 63. Ryan asserted that the reason why Hillary Clinton lost the White House was that the Democratic Party has been co-opted by extreme leftists out of touch with the American people. Dickerson asked Pelosi about the Democratic brand now.
The Democratic Party is in a moment of questioning about its identity. You were reelected to lead the Democrats in the House. What do you tell Democrats who want a new direction and then go to you? What are you going to do differently?
Well, I don't think that people want a new direction. Our values unify us, and our values are about supporting America's working families. That is one that everyone is in agreement on. What we want is a better connection of our message to working families in our country, and that clearly in the election showed that that message wasn't coming through.
Planned Parenthood and the American Civil Liberties Union have partnered with one another to file lawsuits on November 30th, objecting to life-saving pro-life regulations in Alaska, Missouri, and North Carolina, reports the World News Service. In Alaska, they object to a law that requires a second opinion when a woman seeks to kill her unborn baby after the first trimester. In Missouri, the pro-aborts object to abortion mills having to meet the same standards as any ambulatory surgical center, as well as for abortionists to have hospital admitting privileges. And in North Carolina, the pro-death crowd wants to be able to kill babies with special needs after 20 weeks gestation. Proverbs 24:11 says, "Rescue those who are being taken away to death. Hold back those who are stumbling to the slaughter." The American Family Association, a conservative Christian group, has published their 2016 Naughty or Nice list of retailers for this Christmas season, singling out which stores celebrate the holiday and which ones avoid it. Ed Vitagliano of AFA said, quote, "There are secular forces in our country that hate Christmas because the word itself is a reminder of Jesus Christ. They want to eradicate anything that reminds Americans of Christianity." Unquote. The six companies that made the top-rated five-star nice list are Cracker Barrel, Hobby Lobby, Kirkland's, Lowe's, Michael's, and Walmart. The 18 naughty companies are Academy Sports, Barnes & Noble, Best Buy, Dollar General, Family Dollar, Foot Locker, Gap, The Limited, Maurice's, Nordstrom's, Office Depot, Office Max, PetSmart, Staples, Stein Mart, Super Value, UncommonGoods.com, and Victoria's Secret. Last Friday, I asked why you like this newscast and to put your thoughts in writing to my email address, adam@theworldview.com, along with your full name, city, and state. Matt Dewing from Rome, Pennsylvania wrote, quote, "As a homeschool dad, thank you for broadcasting relevant, current events in a soberly reverent, solidly Christian framework, timely, and with excellence," unquote. And Sean Martin of Bancroft, Ontario wrote, quote, "The Worldview in 5 minutes has quickly become a daily routine for me. I listen to it more than any other news media, whether radio, TV, or print. You do a much better job at catching the news items that interest me. It has been deeply encouraging for me to hear these daily doses of reality, whether testimonies of the persecuted or stats about licentious lives," unquote. Send your feedback to adam@theworldview.com. And that's The Worldview on this Monday, December 5th, in the year of our Lord, 2016. I'm Adam McManus. Seize the day for Jesus Christ.
Welcome, friends, to the Generations Radio Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host with you. I'm a homeschool father of five, raising our kids out here in the Eastern Plains of Colorado during the postmodern weirdness of a post-Christian age in which faith, family, and freedom are languishing and in which people are lost and lonely in a world without truth and relationship. And we want to bring back these ideas of truth and relationship. And by the way, God relates to us by way of his covenant. And his covenant is made up of what? Truth and relationship. And we never separate these. We don't say, well, God's not about truth. God's not about law. God's only about love and relationship. No, no, friends, it's both. It's a both and. God says, I want you to love me and keep my commandments. I want a relationship with you and I want you to keep my commandments. I want you to know me and have a relationship with me and I want you to know my truth. So you see, we don't separate out the truth and relationship. That is a Christian world and life view. Always, 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 always talking to truth and a relationship in a lost and lonely world, and it comes first vertically. Well, here's the other point I want to make before I get into the topic today, and that is suicide. I think we ought to be aware of the inputs, Bill. The inputs. The inputs today are more omnipresent and surreptitious than they ever, ever have been. I don't think people are aware of their inputs. They don't understand what's happening to them. They're a little bit like the pinball that seems to be moving from one point to the other point, and they don't really know what's happening to them. They get their worldview like some people get the measles. They don't really know where they picked it up. I think that was the line Francis Schaeffer used to use. But be aware of the inputs, friends. They tend to be omnipresent all around us. and surreptitious. And so that's, I think, going to be a thrust of this message today on the Generations Radio broadcast. Bill Jack from Worldview Academy with me today as we talk about the issue of suicide. And this article's come out in a number of news sources. Time Magazine had an article. I think you've got that on your computer. Yeah. I've got...
The Kids Are Not All Right.
That's right. The Kids Are Not All Right.
Cover story.
It was a cover story 3 weeks ago, I believe it was. And this one from Stamford, the Stamford Press in California, Connecticut. Adolescent suicides rising at alarming rates. And what they're talking about here are 10 to 14-year-old kids. For the 10 to 14-year-old kids over the last 7 years, get this, suicide rates have doubled across America in just 7 years. Bill, I don't think I have lived at a time in the last, 52 years of my life in which in a seven-year period, suicides for 10 to 14-year-olds or any demographic has doubled in just that period of time. And this is just amazing. Bill, it stuns me that this is happening to our 10 to 14-year-olds, and I have a hard time identifying it, except for the fact that they have way more access to media by way of their iPhones. They seem to have more access to media independent of mom and dad, independent of the rest of the family, you know, gathering around the television. It's not as if they haven't had some access to electronic media over the last 50 years, but just the last 7 years, what do they have access to but the iPhones, the iPads, the sources of information that are they have access to, but there is just no accountability, there's no community around them as they're accessing this these forms of cultural inputs.
As this article points out in Time Magazine, conventional wisdom says kids today are over-supervised, prompting some parenting critics to look back fondly to the days of latchkey kids. But now, even though teens may be in the same room with their parents, they might also, thanks to their phones, be immersed in a painful emotional tangle with dozens of their classmates. Or they're looking at other people's lives on Instagram and feeling self-loathing or worse. Or they're caught up in a discussion about suicide with a bunch of people on the other side of the country they never even met via an app that most adults have never heard of.
Yeah, I mean, they're lost kids, more and more lost kids who have inputs from who knows where. And they just don't have community. They don't have community with their family, with their friends, with their church community. And I think this is becoming more and more of a problem. We're going to talk about isolation after the break. But children and teens are suffering from a variety of mental health issues, increasingly resorting to suicide, a federal report shows. But while there has been an increase in mental health services and more open dialogue about suicide prevention in recent years, today's school-aged children are exposed to a myriad of risk factors. It's getting much worse, says Teresa Poloris, who runs a college and career readiness program at the Academy of Information Technology and Engineering in Stamford. The U.S. Centers for Disease Control have released alarming figures this month. As I said, kids 10 to 14 years of age, their suicide rate now surpasses motor vehicle crashes for the first time as a leading cause of death. In fact, their suicide rate for the age group doubled between 2007 and 2014. The number of kids who are struggling with these issues is staggering. According to Times Magazine article, The Kids Are Not All Right, according to the Department of Health and Human Services, more than 3 million adolescents ages 12 to 17 reported at least one major depressive episode in the past year, and more than 2 million reported severe depression that impeded their daily functioning. That's significant, Bill. It's really, really, really significant. We're going to talk about some of the worldview consequences here and some of the worldview causes for this in just a moment on the Generations Radio broadcast. Stay tuned.
Loving parents want to give good gifts to their children. But how do you sort through all the worthless stuff out there to find fresh, engaging, and meaningful gifts? At Generations, we've been on the hunt for months gathering some of the finest new resources for children, young adults, and the entire family, including fun games, audio dramas, Christian biographies, historical fiction, short stories, and other exceptional family resources. And now we'd like to share them with you, along with a special discount. Until December 31st, get 10 to 45% off everything in our store. Go to generations.org/gifts to explore our top 8 gift ideas for the entire family. That's generations.org/gifts. Offer ends December 31st.
Now we're back on the Generations Radio broadcast today talking about the tragedy of suicide. And we have had instances, a number of instances, in which friends or friends of friends have committed suicide. And when this happens, friends, it should not be minimized. Do not minimize the problem of suicide. And the rates do not appear to be that high when you take a look at it, you know, 10 per 100,000 or what have you in a given year. But you know what? Every single one of them is a significant, devastating thing that affects hundreds of lives, thousands of friends and family members, and it has a ripple effect that just continues on sometimes for months and years and even into the generations. You know, if a father commits suicide, it might affect the children, it might affect the grandchildren. The story goes on to the great-grandchildren and the great-great-grandchildren. Not everybody commits suicide, that's true. But when it happens, friends, it is devastating. Please do not minimize a suicide. Pay a special attention to it. And remember this, that the mode is the message. In the case of suicide, and I think this is what makes suicide so devastating, probably the most devastating thing that could ever happen to a family. I mean, it might be divorce and some other things, but I can't think of anything that really is quite so devastating as a suicide in any particular family, or it might affect a church or a church community or a school or a university. Friends, suicide is jarring because the mode is the message. The mode itself, the action itself, sends a message and sends a powerful message and can be devastating to many, many, many people. And the message is very simple. They preach a message to hundreds and thousands, and what they're saying is hopelessness, is hopelessness. It sends a message that there is no hope, there is no resurrection, there's only death. And it tends to be an incarnation of a Nietzschean message of despair. And that's the problem, Bill. That's the part of it that I think undermines and attacks our worldview. And I think as Christians, we need to respond rightly. We need to say no, no, no. Every ounce of our body and soul needs to preach against it and say no, it wasn't right. That was the wrong message. That was a lie. It was not right because there is a resurrection and there is hope and there is eternal life and there is a way out. And Jesus Christ has conquered the last enemy. And you see what I'm saying? Yep. We have to respond. We have to respond rightly in our own minds as we teach our families and we teach our church and our friends the right message, because there is a competing message here.
And the nation that hates God loves death. And that's why we see that suicide has this multiplying effect when it occurs in a school setting, for example, in a high school or a middle school. When a student commits suicide, shortly thereafter, there are other students who either attempt it or actually succeed in following along.
Right.
And it's because the school system has no hope. They do not give a message of hope. What they do is they bring in the school psychologists, they bring in counselors, and they don't bring in pastors, they don't bring in the churches and say, we need help here. This is a spiritual problem. They try to solve it intellectually.
They don't realize that they are the problem.
They don't realize
that psychology is the problem. They don't realize that a materialistic way of looking at the human mind is the problem. Friends, ideas have consequences. I think this is the thing we lose. Bill, ideas have consequences. Ideas yield the statistics. You say, well, why these statistics? Why are people acting out hopelessness in suicide, and twice the 10 to 14 year olds are doing it than did 7 years ago? Why? Why is this, friends? The answer should be obvious. Ideas have consequences. Ideas have consequences. I'm going to make a new statement here that I hope will be used for many years to come, Bill, and that is that ideas yield statistics.
The statistics come
because of the ideas that have been taught and inculcated in the schools. There was a reason for Columbine. I know some people say this is a random action of some psychologically demented young men who had a bad moment. just kind of a random action taken by random young men and wiping out, what was it, 17, 18 students and teachers at Columbine High School some 15 years ago.
The answer is no, because they learned their lessons well. Now, hear me carefully. I'm not saying some teacher told them to go shoot people. That's absurd. But from the day they entered the system until the day they pulled the trigger, they were trained to think that they were nothing more than mistakes of nature, that they were cosmic jokes, that they were nothing more than animals, and that when you died, that was it. So why not, in their minds, why should they not live fast, die young, and leave a good-looking corpse?
And they had natural selection emblazoned on their T-shirts.
Yep.
Natural selection emblazoned on their T-shirts. Do you remember their websites as well that spoke of natural selection taking its course? Friends, their vision, their desire, their goal was well stated. The Columbine killers expressed very well their worldviews. And so if you just read the history of it, you'll know that indeed they worked out their worldviews at Columbine High School. And modern man is stepping over the line of despair from decadence to despair. We're certainly seeing that in the music, Bill. I mean, we're not talking about, you know, White Christmas in the 1950s or the lazy, hazy, crazy days of summer. The top 40 music from the 1960s and 1970s, even, or 1980s or 1990s, where they were still singing love songs occasionally. What you're seeing today, what you're hearing today in the culture, is music that is increasingly nihilistic, increasingly meaningless. Have you read the lyrics of the top 30, 40 songs? What you find is more meaninglessness, more nihilism. It's simple, friends. Just simply read the works of Nietzsche or grab a copy of my book, Apostate, the Men Who Destroyed the Christian West, and understand the worldviews of guys like Nietzsche and Sartre and John Dewey, who is a Nietzschean in his pragmatism, and where there is no purpose, there is no meaning, there is no real objective, there is no ultimate standard for right and wrong in a universe of pure chance where we are nothing but cosmic dust floating around a universe of pure chance. Friends, this is what's being taught through the music. The music is more epistemologically self-conscious about its despair than it was when Kurt Cobain committed suicide in the early 1990s. I hope people understand that ideas have consequences. And they work their way out in the modes and the mediums as well. And increasingly, I think Facebook, Twitter, et cetera, give the impression that all truths are equal and all opinions are equal and there is no truth. The mode is the message. The medium is the message. So friends, if you really want to grapple with these things and you understand, want to understand what's happening with you in the modern electronic universe in which we're all plugged into a matrix and we're given both a message and a mode, which also provides a message, then I'd encourage you to grab a copy of my book, The Tattooed Jesus on Culture, and my book, Apostate, on the ideas that killed the Christian West over the last 150 years. Well, ideas have consequences. Modern scientific man, modern intellectual man has gone mad. You know, Bill, we've never had more intellectuals. We've never had more education. We never had more psychologists. And by the way, Friedrich Nietzsche claimed to be the first psychologist. Do you know that?
No.
You read his writing. He's the first psychologist. He's also considered by Freud and others to be the first psychologist. So the father, the grandfather of modern psychology, taught in all the colleges and the high schools, okay, modern psychology, their grandfather, Friedrich Nietzsche. Now, we know Friedrich Nietzsche, the last 7 years of his life, was stark raving mad. He went insane, which is quite appropriate because modern psychology, humanistic psychology, produces madness. Now, it pretends to solve madness, but it produces more and more of it. Modern scientific man, he's never had more education. We've never had this much education. We've never had this many people with college degrees. We've never had this many people who knew science as well as people know their science today. We've never had more atheism, more psychologists, more materialism, and never more madness and never more insanity than we have today. You realize there are 80 million Americans on psychotropic drugs. I just looked it up. And you have a breakdown. They have websites that'll give you an entire breakdown of how many kids, how many of this form of psychotropic drugs, how many of this. We have 80 million Americans on psychotropic drugs because all the psychologists can find to kind of duct tape society together are psychotropic drugs, friends. It's the only thing that's helping a mad society that's formed in humanism to survive for what? Another 20 years, maybe? Oh, make that 12 years. Hey, Bill, I mean, think about it. How many psychotropic drugs? How many people were on psychotropic drugs in 1960 or 1950? Almost nobody. Now 80 million Americans.
1960s, it was psychedelic drugs.
Yeah, yeah. Right. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. We have 80 million Americans on psychotropic drugs. Now add to that pot, marijuana, legalized in what, 25 states now, and alcohol and all the other forms of drugs in which you're out there suppressing your thoughts and trying to somehow maintain some psychological suppression to survive life for the next 10 years. Well, my friends, society has gone mad. So just remember that ideas have consequences, and these are ideas that have produced the consequences of modern man. And what we need to do is we need to preach back at it. And this is exactly what you were saying, Bill. We need to preach back at it. Modern scientific man is wrong. He's just wrong. The materialistic educational system is wrong. The humanist education systems are just plain wrong. They're driving our society mad. They're driving our society into insane asylums. Why? Because the fear of God is the beginning of knowledge. What happens if you take the beginning of something, the foundations of something, the foundations of an entire edifice of all of the learning, all the education, all the knowledge and wisdom in an entire society, you take the foundation out, what happens?
Well,
foundation's jacked.
If the foundation is cracked, the house is jacked. You got to build the foundation up. It's like that building in, what is it, San Francisco, that's leaning, this huge, skyscraper. And it's a beautiful thing, but it's leaning to the point where now they're saying it will topple. Why? It's not because of the 13th floor or the 100th floor that's in trouble. It's the foundation that's in trouble. And, scripture says men are forever learning, but never able to come to a knowledge of God. Never able to come to a knowledge of the truth. Mm-hmm. It's because we have ripped the foundation away from education, from how to deal with anxiety and depression. Mm-hmm. We have ripped the foundation out, and we are now replacing that with shifting sand.
Mm-hmm. We need to preach back. Where there's hopelessness, preach back the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The resurrection of Christ, the greatest historical fact in all of history. And ought to be the greatest historical fact taught in all the history classes in every school, every K-6 school, every K-12 school, every university in America. It ought to be shot through the educational systems. It ought to be in our child raising. We ought to be centering on the resurrection of the Son of God, who came to destroy sin, to destroy depression, to destroy hopelessness, to destroy suicide. Hey, Jesus Christ came. He destroyed the last enemy, which is death. So keep that in mind and preach it and live it, and be sure that you live every day, Monday through Sunday, on that worldview, my friends. Well, there's other causes for suicide as well that's brought up in this particular study, and one of them is bullying, which is a failure to meet the expectations of a peer group or a failure to succeed, or for some people it's a loss of income. I think what happens is man sometimes doesn't meet the expectations of his own godness. He's devastated to discover that he can achieve some standard of godness, or he cannot really achieve his cheap values, the excessive value he places on wealth and popularity and so forth and so on. The problem, of course, comes back to his relationship with God, an unwillingness to include God in the mix. The problem is not the fact that he cannot achieve godness or godhood. The problem is our relationship with God. That's the real problem. When our relationship with God is right, then our relationships with others comes back into proper proportion. Suicide rates in America are way up, my friends. They're the highest they've been in 30 years. It's not just for the 10 to 14-year-olds, Bill. Actually, the steepest increases are also with the 45 to 64-year-olds. White middle-aged women and Native Americans are the highest right now in terms of suicide rates. They're higher than all the others. White middle-aged women and Native Americans have the highest suicide rates. Here's what Julie Phillips, a professor of sociology at Rutgers University, told New York Times. She said marriage rates have declined, particularly among less educated Americans, while divorce rates have risen, leading to increased social isolation. She calculated that in 2005, unmarried middle-aged men were 3.5 times more likely than married men to die from suicide, and their female counterparts were as much as 2.8 times more likely to kill themselves. That is, if you're outside of relationship, and modern man is outside of relationship more and more, and if you're outside of relationship, if you're isolated, far more likely to commit suicide. What used to stabilize society is disappearing fast, my friends. remember that there are seven times more people living alone by a percentage than were in 1900. And I think what needs to happen, friends, is Christians need to restore family and community. Relationships need to come back. Right now, emancipation for young daughters is the norm. Courtship implosions are happening where there is no love. The marriage rate is 45% lower than it was in 1980. 45% lower than it was in 1980. The marriage rate in America, according to the CDC, is 45% lower than it was in 1980. And by the way, the number of divorces per number of marriages, about the same as it was in 1980, meaning that the divorce percentage is about the same as a percentage of those actually getting married. But the divorce rate or the marriage rate is 45% lower. That is, people are living by themselves. Only 19% of households are made up of the nuclear family, dad, mom, and kids. And that's down from 40% 30 years ago. And that's something, only 19% of households are made up of dad, mom, and kids. You say, what are the other households made up of? Single moms, singles, and single moms, and singles, and singles, and single moms. Only 19% of households are made up of dad, mom, and kids, down from 40% 30 years ago. Church communities are terribly transient, very little relationship left there. Not so much in terms of conflict resolution, forgiveness, and love in the church. The love of many has grown cold. Really, really cold. And don't forget that if you've eliminated 70, 80 million of your kids over the last 40 years, the siblings who survived are not probably going to relate to each other very well either. So friends, the love of many has grown cold. And so what is the solution for all of this? What is the solution for this? Well, we've got to bring relationships back. We've got to bring truth and relationships back to a lost and lonely world. And man is attempting to live without God, and inevitably he will cut himself off from horizontal relationships as well. Remember, it was Adam that fell in the garden, cut off his relationship with God, and it was Cain who cut off his relationship with his brother and then formed the anonymous city and eventually developed polygamy. Please understand, friends, that the derelationalized life always flows from the breakdown of the relationship with God. If the vertical returns, if by God's grace we come back into relationship with the true and living God by way of the reconciliation of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our peace, if we come back to a relationship with God, the vertical returns, then the horizontal returns as well. And so that's our desire in this program, that we see a restoration of relationships with God. That first and foremost, we love God with our heart, soul, mind, and strength. We find that relationship coming back with God, and then the second commandment begins to kick in. We love our neighbor as ourselves. And the second thing, after the restoration of the vertical relationship, we've got to see a relationship reformed in our vertical, in our horizontals. That is, with our family. I'd love to see a re-relationalized family life where we minimize emancipation of our daughters at 17, 18, 19 years of age, if at all possible. We have a re-relationalized family elder care. We have a re-relationalized education system versus the institutionalized form, where we cotton towards discipleship as a better word, where there's more love, more relationship there, a re-relationalized form of education within the family, a re-relationalized form of culture where we ditch the earphones. We no longer are drawn into our own existential life where hell is other people and we have our own cultural experience, and we want to lock everybody outside of our world because we have an electronic form of culture where it's just me and my iPod. We want a re-relationalized form of culture. We want a re-relationalized church community where there's love and long-suffering with each other and forgiveness that actually returns, where widows are cared for by the church rather than a faceless government, and where there's as I said, conflict resolution and hospitality and long-term relationships again, where we can actually spend more than 2 hours in the foyer of the church without people getting into a huff and separating ways with each other. Friends, a re-relationalized church, a re-relationalized community, a re-relationalized family elder care, a re-relationalized form of raising our kids in the 21st century. Is it possible to bring back relationships to a lost and lonely world? I suggest to you that it is. And I'd recommend to you our book, The Tattooed Jesus, What the Real Jesus Would Say About Pop Culture, and the book Apostate, which also gets into the dissolution of relationship and the isolation of modern man. Please understand that ideas have had consequences, man. They have created the mediums, they've created the modes, and they have created the messages in the 21st century. Just wake up to these inputs and realize that, you know what? God has a different form of life for us. Let's bring it back. You'll find more about it in the Word of God. You'll find more about it in the teachings of Jesus, in his modes, his mediums, and his messages. Just check it out in the Word of God. You'll find a paradigm shift happening in your life as you begin to read the Gospels of Jesus Christ. Folks, you can interact with the program by emailing me directly at host@kevinswanson.com. You can also hear the program anytime, anywhere in the world at kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson and Bill Jack in studio, and we invite you back again next time as we continue to lay down vision for the next generation.